Got into it because of a certain brother sent us a an email for Monday night open forum, you know, what was the difference between Bible reading and scripture searching. And so we began to, you know, look at that. Scripture searching links up with, you know, you coming to interpret what the scripture says. And so a true scripture searcher, one who is there looking for Christ, looking beyond himself, you know, is searching the scripture concerning their view of Christ. Now, my interpretation has changed over the years, not just from one thing to another, but it has broadened, it has taken more into itself than it did at one time, because as your understanding of Christ grows, and you all know that, you've seen Christ, and then all of a sudden you'll look at a verse and you'll say, oh man, that's what that's talking about. That's what that means. Well, that's a translation. You're translating that scripture to what does it mean? And that depends on your view of Christ, because you can make it mean just about anything you want to, for it to mean. You know, a lot of people look at the word Christ in there in the New Testament, they see themselves, because they really have come to believe that they're the Christ of God. You know, that's a far out belief, but there are some that are preaching that. And I've got one coming by here to see me and spend the night with me on Monday night that believes that. We'll see how that goes. We'll see how that goes. All right. The mystery of God. Now, what we're looking at here, of course, is that the mystery of God is a person. The mystery of God is a person. Let me just read Romans 16, verse 25 through 27. We're going to come back to this, because I want to talk about the mystery of God as it relates to that person. But the whole study here, or this whole series concerning the mystery of God, is the mystery of God is a person. It is Christ. The mystery of God is Christ. Our salvation is a person, an indwelling person, and the mystery of God has to do with not just the revealing of that person, but seeing that person as the as the full comprehension of our salvation. But we'll get into that as we go along. Romans 16, verse 25 through verse 27 says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but is now made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. God, only wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Paul is speaking here, of course, the mystery of God, but it is now to him who is of power to establish you according to my gospel. We know what his gospel is. And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. God doesn't reveal a thing. He doesn't just reveal a thing. He doesn't reveal a subject. He doesn't reveal a thing. Earthly thing, spiritual thing, or any other thing. He reveals his Son, in whom are all things made full and complete. So it isn't that God reveals righteousness, he reveals his son. Or anything else, he reveals his son. And then Paul, of course, just outright says in Colossians, Colossians chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, but it's in verse 2, I believe it is, or maybe verse 3, that he says, the mystery of God, which is Christ. Now, your King James Bible won't read it that way. The King James Bible say the mystery of God, and mystery of God, I think, and of Christ or something like that. But the actual translation of that verse in the original is the mystery of God, which is Christ. That's Colossians 2, verse 1, 2, and 3. So we'll come back to that and deal with that in another time. But we're going to look at this tonight. The mystery of God is a person. And it is, because our salvation is a person. But I want us to look at, First John. And we're going to be tonight in First John, in chapter 1 and chapter 2. And we make it into chapter 3. Of course, not the whole chapter, but verses that are there. And this relates to the mystery of God, which is Christ, the person. And so John starts out there by saying, that which was from the beginning. And this is tremendously interesting, because you know what, in his gospel he says, and this is his epistle, but in his gospel he says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. And then he goes on, and it's obvious he speaks of the Son of God. He's speaking of Christ. Now that becomes obvious. In him was life, and the life was the light. Now when we read that, in him was life, and the life was the light, we have to understand at that point, cannot separate life and light one from another. You can distinguish them. The life is one thing. The light is when that life is revealed. Because God has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Wherever the revealing of Christ is talked about, something in relation to light, brightness, appearing, manifestation, those words are used. So what is the light of life except that life being revealed? So what I'm saying is that you can't really separate life and light. You can distinguish the two. One is Christ, the other is Christ revealed. But you can't separate them as though they have nothing to do with one another. Because where there is life, it is the work of the Spirit of God, the moving of God, that there be, that we walk in the light of that life. John says, if we walk in the light as he, the life, is in the light. And you know, and you know the scripture, God dwelleth in light. I mean, you know, so the one is having life, the other is having that life revealed in you. And so when John in his gospel says was in him was life, and the life itself is the light of men. Now, not all have come to the life, and many of those that have come to the life have not come to the light of that life. We know that, but it doesn't change the fact that Christ, the Son of God, is both the life and the light as well. The light is when Christ, the Son of God, is revealed. Well, mystery deals with a thing that is, there's several terms used. One of them is that a thing is hidden. It is covered, it is veiled. But it also means a thing is in darkness, cannot be seen. And so when the light shines, the mystery is revealed. Who is the cause of the light? When do we really come to the light? That is, to the revealing of the mystery of God. We come to that in our souls when the Son himself is revealed in us. So those three terms, life and light and mystery, you know, are all pointing to one another wherever you find them in the scripture. And we'll look at that when we begin to go through some scripture in one of these classes. But John is referring directly to that when he says in his epistle, that which was from the beginning. So he's talking about Christ. He's talking about the Son of God. But he's talking about him in relation to the Father as the living Word of God. And he's also talking about him in relation to what he wrote, in him is life, and the life is the light. So this is what he's referring to here, because now this very one has become his very gospel, because he has seen him, and he mentions it here, but then he goes on in that epistle of 1 John to say that not only have we seen him with our eyes and looked upon him and touched him, that word of life, and they did. They did that. But what he's declaring now is an indwelling Christ. You know he does that in all through the that first epistle of John. That this Christ is in you. And that he is synonymous with the anointing that is in you, and so forth. But he starts out here, that which is from the beginning, which we have heard. I wrote in my Bible, whom, W-H-O-M, whom we have heard, whom we have seen with our eyes, whom we have looked upon in our hands have handled, of the word of life. And then there's a parenthetical phrase that's there in verse 2. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Now he's talking about the life revealed. Because the word manifested is the same thing. It relates to his appearing. It relates to his shining forth. Just the word manifestation relates to that. not only was, you know, he took upon him, how does he say that in the gospel? He became flesh and dwelt among us. But that was not how he was manifesting. There was only one time that he was manifested that would qualify for the word manifest during those 3.5 years. And that's when he took Peter and James and John to the mountain region. They went to sleep and they were awakened by a brilliant, brilliant light. I mean, an amazing thing. And they saw him. They saw him in his glory. Now, John is understanding that this one is now in us. This one is now dwelling in us. And John speaks of seeing him in that way and knowing him in that way. And so he's referring to that, but he's coming from knowing Christ in the flesh to knowing Christ by the Spirit. Right here in these verses, which we have. So he says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. Now, this is not, as some commentators insist in their not all of them, but some of them, in their translation, that he's speaking, you know, to them about this Jesus in the flesh. No, you might argue that if you're just reading the Gospel of John, because he does speak of Christ being in the flesh. And you know that. But in this epistle, that is not the one that they are preaching. That's not the one. It's the same one, but not in the same way. It's the same Christ, but now it's Christ in you. It's John that says that the very spirit of Antichrist is the spirit that says that he is not now come in the flesh, that he's not now in you. And he goes on to explain that, and we'll not have to look at it. Y'all are familiar with those verses. So he's saying, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So he's speaking of a whole different relationship with Christ here. He didn't have that relationship with him in the flesh, and he didn't have that relationship with God through Christ in the flesh. They did not have that at that time. So he's not talking about a fleshly Christ, and he's not preaching out of his remembrance. He is declaring what he has seen, what he has heard. This is the same John that in his book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And when I turned, I saw. And what his focus was not the candlesticks at all. His focus was the one standing in the midst. So we know that also. So John here is the same as Paul does. He's declaring that the thing that God has revealed, the mystery of God, the thing that eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, as Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, John is saying the same thing here. Same thing. And he says, now these things we write unto you that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, God is light. That is a tremendous statement when you understand who the light of God is. The light of God is Christ. We only need to read in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 to virtually read that. says concerning the Son in whom God hath spoken, that Son being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. And he, the Hebrew writer, is exalting Christ, as we all know. So, but this is a tremendous statement here. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If there's darkness, it's got to be in me. It's not in him. If there's darkness, it's got, and we'll read some of that in a moment, when we get a little further of what Paul says about that. But anyway, in him is no darkness at all. He's talking about, he's talking about the very light of God, the very Son of God, the very eternal Word of God, who dwells in the Father, even as the Father dwells in him. The glory of this, hon, is that this is the very God who, in the person of his Son, lives in you and I, or you and me. And I guess what I'm trying to get to here with regard to this mystery is that the mystery of God only abounds in those who have not seen Christ. That's it. Now, we are ever learning the mystery, but Christ is no longer hidden from us as he was in the Old Covenant times and as he was during his time on earth. He was hidden from the sight of their soul, from their eyes. He was hidden. But he is only now hidden from those who have not turned their hearts to see him. And that's what he says. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now this is a hard saying. It's a hard saying, folks. There are so many believers who truly believe, because they've been taught that way, that they are having fellowship with God, that they are having fellowship with the Son. You hear it all the time. But who cannot say what John said, come and have fellowship with us. Our fellowship is with the Father and his Son. Now they try to say that, but it ends up being a fellowship meeting, or it ends up being with cake and coffee, or it ends up being a church service where we sing and where we preach and where we do all of that, most of which in Christianity falls short of actual fellowship. Even the ones that are there who embrace one another, belong to the same church, belong to the same group of believers, have no fellowship one with another. Because I'm going to tell you something. Fellowship is not something you have. It is something you live in. It is something you abide in. It is not dependent upon you seeing my face or me seeing your face. It's dependent upon you, me, seeing his face. then we have the same fellowship one with another, because we are brought into fellowship with God through the revelation of His Son. Now, this is my interpretation of these verses, but it's John's interpretation of these verses too, if you look real closely here. Because this is the next verse, he said, the next verse, look at that next verse. First verse says, if we say we have fellowship with him, walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, how do you do the truth, folks? Do not the truth. How do you do the truth? The truth is light. The truth is light. The truth is who Christ says he is. When do we know him in truth, as truth? Same way we know him in anything else that he is. When he's revealed of the Father. When he's revealed of the Father. Because he is the truth of God, the light of God, the glory of God, the mystery of God, the wisdom of God, the salvation of God. I mean, come on. Amen. And in all of that, he is the Son of God, who is the eternal Word of God, in whom is life, and that life is the light. Now, John is saying all of that. So then he says, but if we walk, what is the answer to verse 6? We walk in darkness, and therefore do not the truth. And how do you do the truth? But if we are doing the truth. But John wants you to understand what that is. So up here he says, they do not the truth. Here he said, and here's what it all is. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light. Man, this is the understanding of that, of everything that is being said, as he is in the light. See? There are very few believers who will not tell you, but we're walking in the light, brother. What light? Well, we believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Okay? Well, we believe, and they'll give you one organization, Pentecostal organization, will give you 16 fundamentals of faith. We believe. That's their light. Another one will give you 8. That's their light. Then there are those that don't have all these fundamentals written down, but they will tell you, well, I believe that Christ is in me. I believe that I'm in Christ. I believe we're sons of God. And they'll read the Bible and point that out to you. But that in and of itself is not walking in the light. Well, we have light on this, we have light on that. I had a dear brother that was extremely close to me at one time because of our walk in the Lord. Write to me and was talking to me how he appreciated me. And I won't go into all the words that he used, but he appreciated me because of the light that I preached and so forth and so on. But he went on to say, but now, you know, we have to broaden, we have to widen. We have to do this, we have to do that, and that's when he defined light as being something other than Christ. Because there is no light other than Christ, and if a thing is not found in him, it's best left alone. if it's not revealed of the Father to be him, then it's best left alone. Not take it and preach it as light, or more light, or greater light. And you know, we've all got to come to that, and all of this kind of stuff. John says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, how do we live life? What is our union with the life that is in us? Well, of course, the union is the light himself. But how do we walk in life? If we walk in the light. See, the life of Christ is in me, and it's in you. But until that Son is revealed, it is a mystery. Because you can't, I mean, I know what the scriptures say, just like you do. But it's still a mystery. Because the mystery of God is not that Christ is in me. The mystery of God is the Christ who is in me, is in you, but he's in every believer. Right. The mystery is seeing him, knowing him, seeing him to be the all thing that the scripture says is in him. Well, we can read the scripture and see that in him dwelleth all things. But all is a really, really, really big word. Not about the things that are in him, even the all things, which is an eternity of things. The mystery is Christ himself. Seeing him as not just my life or your life. You can read about that in the scripture, and to some degree you can believe it and make a doctrine out of it. But seeing him who is the life. Now isn't that exactly what Paul says? I don't know whether we ever did deal with that or not. I had it here to deal with it in one of these classes. Let me see. I'm just looking at it this afternoon. Here it is right here. Isn't that exactly what Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is our life. Now, the scripture, these brethren, in writing their letters and in declaring what John says he is declaring, several times will say something regarding Christ being your life. But the mystery revealed, I keep saying the mystery of God revealed, is not that Christ is my life. Mystery of God revealed is Christ himself, who is my life. Paul is not talking about the revelation, God given me a revelation that Christ is my life, because God doesn't give those kind of revelations. God reveals the life himself. It becomes very apparent he's my life. But it becomes more apparent that I have no life but him. And there's a difference in the understanding of most believers who say he is my life, and in Paul saying, there's only one who lives in me, and I have no life but the one who lives in me. of the difference in saying he's my life and understanding that I have no life but him. And then that goes on to make us understand that if I have no life but him, then Paul is speaking the truth when he says, it is not me who is living. It is Christ who liveth in me. What a difference. That's the mystery revealed. And that's the greatest salvation that could possibly be given of God. Because God could have given us, I mean, God is God. He could have done whatever he wanted to do. But he had an eternal plan before he did anything, and so he did everything according to the desire and will and good pleasure of his heart. His good pleasure of his heart, his eternal plan, was not to just give you and I life. The soul was created of God and is already eternal, but that doesn't mean it has eternal life. My point is that salvation is not just me having life. The real mystery that's of salvation is that salvation and life that is given of God is his son living in me. That it is not me and Jesus. It is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, living in me. That is not only a divine miracle, but the revealing of that is the revealing of the mystery of God, because that cannot be seen with the natural eye. It cannot be heard with the natural ear. It cannot be understood with the natural mind. You can't add qualifications to that. Like most of us, most believers and most ministries in Christianity preach that yes, you're saved, you're born again, and God has given you life. Now you must, and they start naming. Now you must do this, you must not do that. Now you must do this, and you must not do that. Now you must go here, but you must not go there. And here we go with all of that. Now, some of those things may well be true in and of themselves. But the way they're preached is that you must do this or that to have life. You must not do this or that to have this or to have that. There are no qualifications when I come to realize I am dead. And the eternal one himself, one who says I am Alpha and Omega, one who says after that in Revelation, I am he that liveth, was dead, behold, I live forevermore. My Lord, salvation is that one living in me. And I told you when we looked at these lessons, we couldn't separate the person of our salvation from the mystery of it, because they're the same. But they are specific, and they are what is distinguished from the other, but one relates to the other, because if it wasn't for the other, the person, and there'd be no revealing of the mystery. But we're looking at the mystery. But we're looking at the mystery, as I said, one ago, as it relates directly to the person. So Paul says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Not when it becomes apparent that Christ is our life. Not when we come to believe Christ is our life. I mean, although there's nothing wrong with those things, but it's more specific than that. You cannot really know Christ as your life until Christ, who is your life, appears. There's only one thing. There's only one work of God that answers the mystery, reveals the mystery, and that is the revealing of His Son. That's the only way it works. Seeing that we're the body of Christ is not the same as the mystery of God revealed. Seeing Christ, whose body we are, is the mystery of God revealed. You understand what I'm saying? Because the only way we could truly know we're the body of Christ is not because we're reading the Bible and sang songs about it and make statements of affirmation about how much we believe it. I mean, people always say, "Oh, well, brother, you gotta realize we're all one body. I don't think most of the people that tell me that realize that we are the body absolutely of one, and that they realize it by the one being revealed in them. Because most of the time they're making excuses when they tell me, "Well, it isn't all the same body." Well, all right. Have you seen the head? Have you seen the one whose body we are? Because the generic term is that, well, we're just all the same body. If that is true, I mean, you know, if you understand the truth of that statement, then what difference does it make if you meet here at Rhythms of Grace, or if you meet Gospel Lighthouse, or you just go down the road and be with the Presbyterians, or with the Methodists. You understand what I'm trying to tell you? We're just all one body. Better to say, in relation to all that, we're all of the Christian religion. That's pretty close to truth. I'm not telling you that the body of Christ, that they're not members of His body, that they're not believers found in any of those places. I'm sure that there is. But really, Ron, is that the body that we are, or rather, are we the body of one? Do we really understand the body of Christ? In the revealing of the person Himself, whose body we are. Do we really understand? Really understand that in order to grow, that His body, the body Paul writes about, is to grow up in all things into the head, which is Christ. Not just to die and go to heaven one day. Do we really understand the church through a view, a revealed view of the Lord Jesus? don't call everything I see the body of Christ. I just don't call everything that gets in a building and puts a sign on the front the body of Christ. There may be some members of his body there, and on the other hand, there may not be. That's not what we're talking about. But it seems like we overuse this term. The ones I hear overuse, but they say it to me. And, you know, I said, well, you know, brother, we're just all one body. And every time someone tells me, I'm thinking, we really understand whose body we are. You really understand that from seeing the head himself? Do you really understand that through God revealing a mystery, which is Christ in you? Or do you disbelieve that because it's part of the Christian doctrine? And because Paul certainly sets that forth in Scripture. When he said, ye are the body of Christ. But look at what he's saying there before he ever makes that kind of statement. You're not just willy-nilly the body of Christ. You're the body of Christ because Christ lives in you. Same way with the house of God, because Christ lives in you. That's all true. But Paul says this, here's what he goes on. I'm not out of this verse yet. When Christ, not when anything else, not what I think the body is, or not that I believe everybody's the body, or that, you know, we're just all one body. Okay, all right, fine. When Christ, who is our life, you could say, whose body we are. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Now this word appear is a Greek word, anero, which means manifest. That's where he got told we all go. John is using this term, manifest. He's talking about the seed of Christ. He's talking about Christ revealed in him. He has come to see that Christ, the glory of God, Christ, the anointing of God. He goes on and writes about that in this epistle. Christ, the light of God. God is light. Yes, he is. Because my Father and I am one, and because the Son, in the beginning, the Word was with God, yet the Word is God. Well, whether we understand that or not, we embrace that and know that to be true. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you shall also appear with him in glory. Now, Jameson, I'm going to read you something Jameson wrote. Jameson Fawcett Brown, he's a commentary, or commentator, about this verse. This is a guy that's dispensational. This is a guy that doesn't preach Christ in you. This is a guy that preaches Christ is coming one day, but I want to hear you. But he is a scholar in translating the Scripture, the words, what they mean. He's a scholar in that. But his interpretation is very dispensational. But listen to what he says. When Christ shall be manifested. Now, this is the same writer, Jameson, who says, also with regard to this word appear, the word appear means manifested. This is the same Jameson who says, commentary, that there can be no such appearing without it is synonymous with revealing it. Now, he uses the two Greek words. He says the word phanero here means not just someone appearing like it's defined in the English word. It means the appearing of one in his true nature and character, nothing veiled, nothing hidden. He appears in his true nature, his true character. Then he goes on to say, before there can be a phanero, that is, a manifest appearing, there must have been an apokalypsis. That's the Greek word that we know means revealing, revelation, a revealing. He says the two are distinct one from another in this way. Apokalypse means to discover something uncovered, the cover taken off, and we discover something that we did not see. It's discovered, it's made known. Phanero means to demonstrate, manifest, demonstrate. Put the two together, there is a demonstration of that which is revealed. A veiling and a manifestation. This guy believes all of this is going to come one day. But the word sees, he has to admit, this is what these words mean. No matter whether you're going to realize that in Christ, with Christ in you, or whether you're going to still wait for that to take place in the sky, here's what it means. And then he uses the word then. First he says it's when Christ. Then he takes the word then and he says, not until then. Those era who expect a perfect church, a perfect understanding, he goes on, until then. It's true. It's just that he's looking to one glad day. And I would say that he errs in that verse 1 and 2 and 3 have us risen with Christ and seated with Christ in heavenly places, and tells us to set our mind, our affection on things above. Now, I know that verse 1, 2, and 3 of Colossians 3 doesn't say anything about heavenly places, but they're pointing back what Paul says in Ephesians. Those two books just relate to one another right on down the line. And also what he has just said in Colossians 2. So if you'll read that and then come to this verse, it's talking about this Christ, the mystery of God, this one who is in you. Paul has already said all of that. When he who is our life, he might as well have said, and in another place does say, when he who is in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory, when he who is in you appears. And then the word appear in its second instance there is the lighter form of the word phanero. It means to become apparent. Something becomes apparent in the light. Something becomes apparent in the manifestation of that which is revealed. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, something becomes apparent. What? It becomes apparent that we are with him where he is. We are with him in his glory. Our union with him becomes apparent. Glory is not some place. It is a realization of Christ in you, the glory of God. We realize this is the glory under which we are called. We realize this is the glory under which we are come. And in the same way, brothers and sisters, we realize we are now his body. In the same way. Not because we're ready to reverse, because we've seen. Because he's revealed in us. Because the light is made manifest, it becomes apparent that we are in him even as he is in us. It becomes apparent what he has said. I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. These things began to become apparent. We see them as the truth revealed in the person of Christ. Hallelujah. So while we might use the term, brothers and sisters, we might use the term, well, brother, we're all one body. We may use that term, and I'm not upset about it. We may use that term. On that does not define his body. His body is defined when he is revealed. Who is the first one, or the major one, and maybe even the first one, but the major one in the New Testament to call us the body of Christ? And to deal with the body of Christ. And not only on earth, but in heaven. In heavenly places. Who's one that does all of that? It's Paul. He didn't find that, sweetheart, in Old Testament scriptures. He found that in the face of Jesus Christ. And he preached to that body what he realized in Christ. And at the same time told them, my prayer for you is that you, and what did he say? Basically, what did he absolutely say? That God would reveal this same Son in you. Hope of his calling, inheritance in the saints, power of his resurrection. But what did he say before all of that? And in accordance to all of that, he would give to you the spirit of wisdom and knowledge in the revelation of him, Christ, whereby the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, whereby these things would become apparent. But, hon, until Christ, the light of life, is revealed in you, revealed in me, nothing is apparent. Except in our own minds, our own, you know, nothing is really apparent because the light is what makes apparent. The light itself. I begin to realize until Christ appears in me, nothing's apparent. Nothing's apparent. It's seen through a glass darkly at the best. It's not apparent. It's understood by my natural mind, maybe even believed, but it's not apparent. Because apparent has to do with our union with him. Has to do with our union with him. That's exactly what the verse says. Then shall ye also appear with him in glory. It will become apparent. Ye also are with him in glory. Reading that in the scripture is not the same thing as seeing that in the revealing of his person. I used to talk about this with people, with Bible school students, I don't know, 50 years ago, I guess, when it was, maybe not that, in the 60s, however long ago that was. And I would tell them, I said, you know, let's put you in a house, let's put me in the same house. And let's say that I leave notes all over the house for you. And so by that, you know, that I'm either in the house or I've been there. I'm leaving notes for you. I said, that's the way a lot of us are in reading scriptures. I said, they're just notes. We read the scriptures, and based on that, we believe something with regard to the one who wrote the notes. Are you with me on that? And I'd say, then perhaps you'd hear my voice. Maybe I'd be hollering to you from one room into another room, but when you got to that room, I was gone. I'd holler here and holler there. Well, more and more, you would begin to believe that I'm in the house. But when is it a certainty? When does it become apparent that I am in that house? That's when I walk out in the middle of the room, stand in front of you, see me face to face. Then and only then am I undisputedly in this house. Everything else can be disputed one way or another by either your natural mind or circumstances, situations, different winds of doctrine. Of what you've seen. No one, Mr. John, makes such a big deal out of it. We've seen it. We've heard it. But the wonder Paul makes the same kind of a big deal about it, the necessity of his appearing. Blessed be the Lamb of the living God. And you don't have to be a theologian to know you see Christ face to face. He's not coming. He's come. He's entering. The mystery of God revealed is the Father revealing in his Son in you. Until he does everything, it's still a mystery. No matter how much you believe about it, it's a mystery. Because you're going to add your understanding to it, darling. I had some precious brethren in the old sonship movement. Precious brethren. Precious friends of mine. But they always added. And somehow or another, it always became them. They interpreted the scriptures in themselves. We become it. Manifestation of the sons of God was one day when it would become, when they would be revealed in the world as the genuine sons of God, and they would never die, even in the flesh. And I hear things said now that are very close to that by some precious people. Because they read it in the scripture, they got it there, they say, God showed it to me. Everybody says that. God showed it to me. I'm not going to stand up and say, God didn't show me this. God showed me that. it's a different, you know, and it may be a different way of, you know, it's in the scripture. And I know that when Christ is revealed in me, that the scripture doesn't change, but I have an understanding of the scripture that I've never had before, because I see it in the light of life. And I realize my Lord does testify of him. I never see the testimony of me in the scripture. I never see the testimony of me in the scripture. I've never found it there yet. Not even where, and see, some would really depart with me right there. Not even when it is concerning my death. There's no way I can understand my death until I see the one with whom I'm dead. I'm going to tell you again, I never find my testimony in the scripture. It's a testimony of him. Amen. When you and I see him, when he's revealed in us, we are awakened to a whole new world, to a whole new creation. We're awakened to a whole new interpretation of the scripture, because we're going to begin to interpret that verse according to the one that we have seen. Not according to me or to you. And I'm going to come to understand, yes, we are baptized into his death, buried with him. I can read that verse like you can. That is still not a testimony of him. It's his death, his burial, his resurrection. And hunt, until you see him, there is not a gnat's chance in the middle of a bonfire of you understanding the death, the burial, or the resurrection. Not a chance. Nothing becomes apparent concerning our relationship with him, concerning our being with him, joined to him, until the him alone is with him. And everything that we will understand from that time on in our growing up will be understood in direct relation to him. Not to me, not to you, not to us. Mystery of God within, which is Christ. Well, we didn't get very far.